The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hoops? I mean, you should be done with hoops.
How old are you now?
29 still.
Oh, wow, you look a lot older than that.
He thinks he's going to turn me into a zombie and then rob me blind.
Sucks. I'm just saying.
You look a lot older than 29.
Now you can tell everybody about how the worst injury you had was a Chewy hurt your feelings.
Unbelievable.
Well, I wasn't born yesterday. I might drop dead today, but I sure as hell wasn't born yesterday.
Does he look older than 29?
Don't answer that.
I don't know if it's a compliment or...
Yeah.
That's so mean.
Let's not do this game on this side of the room either, okay?
Mr. Field, I'm here to spend some time with you.
Oh, really? Are you the boyfriend? Are you going to kill me? I'm an old man, but crying out loud. You're going to kill an old man, you coward.
Huh? I don't think you look older than 30.
Well, now, I'm not 30.
Yeah, he looks
like 35.
No, Mr. Field, look, really, I can't read
that, you fool.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Chew, I'm going to need Gabe to come back toot sweet.
Why, need some stats?
I can't.
Sorry, Gabe. But I was laughing. I love belligerent old men. I think they're funny.
What? Is this a segue from Gabe?
No, weren't you listening to the open?
Okay, I wasn't.
It was a Seinfeld. The guy was very angry.
What was he angry about?
Just life.
Oh, well, that's
probably right. Being old.
I felt very old this morning as I was trying to get the televisions to work, and that's why I'm missing Gabe. Gabe usually handles the TVs, right? The ones behind us and the ones over there, so we can watch a little show while we're doing the show, and I can't figure it out.
We're beat up as a team.
Yeah?
Well, you came in with a hot press on your neck. Joshy's the peg legging it here, and I'm old.
It's a good point. Not as old as the guy on the plane with you, though, huh?
No, had a heart attack.
I don't think that I would be calm in that situation.
I mean, let me ask you this. Because there was a panic. We're probably an hour into it. And the stewardesses go on the thing and start screaming for a doctor.
What? Screaming? Like,
well, not screaming, but if there's any medical personnel, if there's a doctor on board, if no one stood up, should I have stood up?
No. No, you do not qualify for that situation. You don't.
Why? Is there a liability problem?
100%.
I mean, it beats dying.
That's true.
Than a pseudo doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
So a bunch of people stood up. Some nurses went back. They were gone for probably 20 minutes, came back. And one of the nurses was in front of us and said this old guy had a heart attack. So when we landed, they told everyone to sit in their seats until they could get the guy off. I'm surprised that no one got up and tried to rush out before he got out.
Oh, but everyone, so there is a...
Probably because they were going to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee people are nice. If they're going to New York, probably
possible.
Wouldn't have been so.
Yeah.
But the guy was embarrassed that he had a heart attack.
I don't know if that's something you should be embarrassed about. Yeah,
I mean,
I understand, I suppose, in that environment. Let me tell you this. The other day, I'm getting off a plane, and they get over the thing and say, we have some people who are trying to make a close connection to Des Moines, and there's about 8 people who are trying to make a close connection. If you could let them go and just hold on and let them, they have a better chance of making their connection. Thank you so much, right? So I'm in, you know, row one, seat B, and... you know, 1 person, 2 person, 5 people, 8 people, 11 people, 12 people. I'm going, huh, it's not exactly 8.
They went with the under. It was definitely the over.
So I think people kind of snuck on the train, if you know what I mean. Des Moines. I'm going to Des Moines also.
Popular place. Yeah,
exactly. All of a sudden, 8 went to 32. And it was like, okay, can we get off now, please? Thank you very much. Some big news, obviously, over the last couple of days. You weren't here with us yesterday to talk about all of the all of the free agent stuff. Did you have a reaction when you saw all of the news, all of the changes? First and foremost, Chu, the Packers, at least recently, have not been active in free agency, right? We keep always going back to 2019 when they made this big splash with a bunch of different players. So when you heard all of the things that they ended up doing on the first day of legal tampering, what was your reaction?
Shocked. I was shocked at Josh Jacobs, not so much at McKinney, but shocked at Josh Jacobs and then shocked at the money. I mean, he wound up getting more, I believe, than Barkley, and the average was only 12. And then you got Aaron Jones going to Minnesota for 7. I'm like, wow, I kind of feel bad for these running backs. And I was talking to you before we went on. Back in my day, tight ends were near the bottom. But tight ends back then, like myself, you blocked half of the time.
You mean on the pay scale?
On the pay scale. You blocked half the time, and then you went out for routes half the time. A good year for a tight end in my day was, a good year was probably 50 catches. Now a good year for a tight end is 80. So we kind of understood it back then, but it's not like they don't use running backs anymore. Running backs are so important. We saw that with Aaron Jones in the playoffs. I mean, these guys are still a huge part of the offense, and they're getting screwed on the pay scale.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think their careers are so short.
Yeah.
It's really when they're in their peak, it's probably, I'm saying for most of them, it's probably a 4-year span. And with injuries and how much they get the ball and how many games they play, they just don't want to pay him. I mean, look at Dalvin Cook. 2 years ago, he was the man in Minnesota. Now he's a nothing. He's a backup running back. So
is it as simple as the disparity between guys who have done it and guys who are just starting to do it is too small? What I mean by that is the wear and tear that a guy like Aaron Jones has on his tires.
Mm-hmm.
Is too much to overcome when you can get similar production from a guy who's just coming out of college. And not always, every guy is going to be, but like it feels like at a lot of positions, Chu, the more time you spend in the league, the better you get.
Yes.
And it feels like running back is the reverse of that. The more time you spend on the league because of the wear and tear, because it's such a punishing position.
Sure.
It's a decline as opposed to I'm learning how to play the role smarter. You can keep learning how to play it smarter. You're still getting, beat up on every single snap.
But you know what? I really think there's going to be a pivot. I think there's going to be a pivot with teams that are going to compete for the Super Bowl. Right now, if you're the Raiders, who cares? You don't have a shot at getting there. But in the NFC, if you're Philly, if you're San Francisco, if you're Green Bay, kind of throw Dallas in there. I think they're going to pivot to we don't want our running back playing 17 games. Because you saw what happened with Aaron Jones. Give them that rest in the middle of the season. And when you're ready to make your push for the playoffs and on, then you put them all in.
But don't you really need, especially a team that runs a play action system, don't you really need to be able to establish that all throughout the season? Can you really just spring it on your guys late in the year?
If you get them in there early enough, and they still have to fill that backup position.
I
don't want Josh Jacobs, rushing for 2,000 yards with 14 in week 15, 16, 17. I think Aaron Jones showed us that. I mean, because these guys get beat up, and I'll go back. And I felt bad for him. I remember the days when we were in our Super Bowl run, just watching Dorsey Levens and Edgar Bennett come into the building after a game. I mean, it's brutal. I thought I was beat up and sore. Everyone did, until you saw a running back, and you're like, holy smoke. So I think there's going to be a pivot, and I think the running backs are going to welcome it because they're they have to be near the bottom of the pay scale now.
Right.
But the thing is, they're so important to their team.
There was a graphic that was circulating on social media yesterday that did show like the salaries and value and things like that. And value is not exactly the right word, but it was basically running backs were down there with the specialists.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be the change in salary over the last, pick a number, 5 years, 10 years, I'm not sure. I'll try to pull it up in the break and see if I can recall what that was. There was a lot of reaction to the news yesterday that Aaron Jones signed with the Vikings. What did you make of the numbers that were out there as far as what the Packers offered him, as far as, how it all went down from a chronological standpoint, the timeline of it, and then the number that he ultimately signed, the deal he ultimately signed in Minnesota?
I was shocked But the Packers were spot on in what they were offering. Dallas ran away.
Or at least closer.
Closer to it. Dallas ran away at the number. And, you know, obviously I think he went to Minnesota for spite because he wants to stick it to the Packers. But the more I thought about it, and I was a little confused why he said there's three sides to every story.
Well, it's one side, and the truth. That's the old adage.
Okay.
My side, your side, and then the truth that's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my mind is obviously he's upset.
Very, yeah, I think
he's upset. And I go back to, I think the Packers might have been a little upset that he missed so many games last year. Because there was a stretch, if you remember, it was kind of like, a little past halfway through the season, we were like, when's he going to play? What's the problem? He's on the sideline? I thought he was playing. I don't know if that kind of came into it being a factor. Because I know this. And I know it's a lot of money. But guys get upset when they have to take pay cuts. They came to me my last year because I was out the year before to take a pay cut. But Ron said, we're going to give you the ability to make it back up. Which is totally fair. But when they just say flat out pay cut with no way to make that money, I'm telling you, guys get upset and they want a little payback and they probably miss some games that they shouldn't.
So I was thinking about just from a negotiation standpoint, Shu, maybe a few missteps in negotiation. Hear me out on this. So Aaron Jones is on the record as saying, I want to be a Packer for life. Cool. That's great. That sounds wonderful. But if you're in negotiations with Aaron Jones and you know that he has said that, doesn't that give the other side a little bit of leverage? Right? If you're the Packers and you know that a guy wants to be a Packer for life, wants to retire a Packer, I feel like you maybe take advantage of that when you go to the negotiation table. On the flip side, when Brian Gutekunst goes in front of the media at the combine and says, absolutely, we want Aaron Jones back. Doesn't that incentivize Drew Rosenhaus and company to push a little harder? They said it was their final offer, but he said absolutely on the record in front of people. Like, there's all of those things that I think played a role in the way that these negotiations went down, with both sides thinking they had more hand than maybe they had. And I think that Brian Gutekunst was in the position of power because he was willing to walk away.
Yeah.
And not only was he willing to walk away, but he could go out and find somebody else to take his place. Because I believe that there was probably a feud's not the right word, schism, conflict, disagreement, if you will, internally about getting rid of Aaron Jones. I guarantee Matt LaFleur was like, no, don't get rid of Aaron Jones. He's our guy. Look what he did last year. Look at the last five games of the season. 100-yard rushing, you know, the heart and soul of our team. All of the things you have heard about Aaron Jones. Well, but then Goody goes out and gets Josh Jacobs. Yeah. And if you're Matt LaFleur and you look at Josh Jacobs and you sneer at that, what are we doing? Like, Matt LaFleur probably feels a lot better today with Josh Jacobs on his roster than he did on Friday when he knew they were moving on from Aaron Jones and didn't have a guy in place.
But shouldn't Aaron Jones have known back early in the season last year when they tried to get Jonathan Taylor?
That's a really good point as well. From a leverage standpoint, from a negotiating
shouldn't he be
standpoint?
Like, their loyalty doesn't seem to go both ways here.
I have no problem with Aaron Jones signing with the Vikings. I know there were people yesterday who were very upset about it.
No.
I don't think that it's something you should turn on him about. I think there are only so many opportunities, and he had to take one once he knew that the door had closed in Green Bay. But Chu, maybe there is a little spite there. Again, that goes against everything we know about Aaron Jones because he's been such a good guy. But human nature is.
It's emotion. He's acting emotionally.
To feel like you've
been. We saw it on Twitter.
But I would have felt a lot worse if he went to Dallas, because Dallas is actually a contender. Now, Minnesota going with Darnold, and they just lost Hunter, their DN, to the Texans. They're in a rebuild. So Aaron Jones can go rush for 150 yards at the end of the day. Packers should beat him twice.
Right, correct.
Next year.
If he's on the field.
But this is a part of the business that's ugly. We saw it with baseball, with Burns, you know, with arbitration. That's just, it's hard to turn off the emotion because you get so set. You love the fans. You love Lambeau. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and you have to separate the two. You really do. Because when they talk about loyalty in this game, there's loyalty as long as you're good. Once you're not good, the loyalty goes out
and
the window.
And even then, look at Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
I mean, Barkley, it feels like, bent over backwards to try to do everything he could to be a giant. And then they were still like, ah, I don't know. We're lukewarm on you at best, right? So now he's with the Eagles, which, by the way, I pulled up the numbers on that when you mentioned it. I have 3-year, $37.75 million contract, could be worth up to $46.75, includes $26 million fully guaranteed at the signing, which, again, we always are interested in what the fully guaranteed money is and also what the cap hit is. Don't really care that much about what the Eagles cap hit is, but you had mentioned his number earlier in comparison to Josh Jacobs. Okay, I do want to get your thoughts on Xavier McKinney as well, the other big news out of the Packers. Keyshawn Nixon has re-signed with the Packers. That deal became official yesterday. It's a 3-year deal. People were little eyeballs about the money there. So we'll talk about that. What is the money and what you're hearing about Keyshawn Nixon's money mean for what he'll be doing on the field for the Green Bay Packers? We do have Adam Schefter coming up in about 15 minutes. Stick around for that. He will be a wonderful source of information when it comes to this free agency and the Green Bay Packers. And maybe, just maybe, if they're going to do something else over the next few days. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest. Most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones. He got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center for his wedding last year. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry like my championship ring. When it needs work, I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They have 3 locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can just text me a picture of what she wants, and the jewelry center can custom create any piece from just a photo. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington. And online at shoptjc.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean, Mike.
Average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The concrete surfaces in your home. Let me tell you about Showtime Floors and Floor Shield. It's used by military bases, airports, businesses, and of course residential homes. That's what matters to you, right? Floor Shield is designed to beautify and protect your concrete surfaces. What does that mean? Your patio, your garage. If you're driving in, you're seeing cracks or uneven surfaces, it is time to call my friends at Showtime Floors. They have a 15-year warranty against wear, and if you mention ESPN for free crack repair, they'll give you 10% off. Get more info by visiting ShowtimeFloors.com. That's ShowtimeFloors.com. Got to be honest, I shouldn't have thrown that granola bar in my mouth right before the Showtime Floors read. That was really battling there, folks. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Gabe this week, but Chewy back and reacting to the free agency news and all of the moves that the Packers have made. And yesterday, Chew, they did go ahead and re-sign Keyshawn Nixon. But the money that they offered him makes it seem like this is not just a return guy thing. This is not just a specialist thing. How much do you anticipate seeing Keyshawn Nixon on the field this year on the defense?
They must like him as a nickel because they gave him a lot of money. Now, it all depends on what they do with kickoff return, whether they make it a big nothing burger or go to the XFL model, which, Josh, you say benefits the returner?
Yes, it is more conducive to the ball being able to be returned more, and it makes bigger returns more frequent, is my understanding of what the XFL went to.
See, I look at it as this, okay, and I think this is how everyone should look at it, is like, how much did they upgrade the safety position with McKinney? So if Darnell Savage, let's say, was a 6, not horrible, but not kind of played like a C player, did they go to an A? Is that too far a stretch with McKinney, or right now put him at a B?
I feel safe at B. I need to see.
Okay, and then the same for Josh Jacobs. Now, I looked at his stats. He's not as good a receiver, I don't believe, as Aaron Jones, but from a running standpoint, he is. So, upgraded a couple clicks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think reliability is his big factor.
So do you guys think they're done? They're done with splashes. They may add, obviously they need linebacker depth. Maybe take a mid-level veteran. But they still have holes to fill. And they did a good job filling them. You still need a backup running back. But I'm telling you, this year will come down to whether Goody was right or it wasn't so much Joe Barry Carroll.
Well, do you feel like we should be confident in what he has done so far? Like, let's talk about Nixon specifically, because people raised eyebrows looking at that 3-year deal because the money seemed, again, not like a specialist. This is not specialist money. This is cornerback money, which means that, Joshy, we're going to see him on the field.
Yeah.
Right. What does that look like for you? What does the DBs look like for you? Let's talk nickel, because that's when Keyshawn would likely be on the field.
Yeah, I think it's going to be basically Jair spots figured out. Valentine and Stokes are going to fight for whoever is the best. Some might have preference there. I think it's going to come down to who plays the best in Fitz Hafley's system. And then nickel is going to be a blend with Keyshawn Nixon playing almost exclusively there, but you're going to see McKinney play there, who has played down and like rotating around. So at this point, the problem with the nickel position is there aren't many high-level nickel players. The highest-level nickel players are often safeties and guys who play other positions. If you look at just nickel special cornerbacks, Keyshawn Nixon is about league average and maybe even a little bit better than that position. So I understand he doesn't blow you away like a Jair Alexander who can shut someone down. But for that position, I think he's a fair option at the nickel position.
I mean, and you're only looking at a... Because Green Bay now, with their moves and with their coordinator move, they're trending to being a top team in the NFC. So you're really only talking about Dallas, Philly, Detroit. Don't sleep on Atlanta, because Atlanta's going to be a lot better. San Fran. So that's who you're in it with. Most of those teams have three pretty good receivers. And that's when you go to game plan, the first thing you do, because everyone loves zebra, which is three receivers, one tight end, one back. They go, is our receiver better than their nickel? And that's going to determine how much of that package they're going to play, because everyone plays it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're better than the teams I didn't mention. That shouldn't be a problem. It's just the teams I did mention.
800-990-3776. Justin weighing in saying, I think it's important to note that maybe we are finally valuing special teams. Matthew Slater with the Patriots made $30 million in his career as a special teams guy. Ballantyne was also just brought back. Yes, that was another thing that was announced. Core special teams guy. Tyler Davis also earlier in the free agency week. So maybe there is all of a sudden...
But their special team stunk last year.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. Bring back all the guys who...
Not really improving anything.
No.
Special teams, and the way the Packers want to do it, and the way they've spoken about wanting to do it is, hey, you're a starter, guess what? You play special teams too.
Well, there's none of this, what Bisaccia said.
Yeah, there's none of this, just you don't get to play there. Because starters have played on there. If you look up and down, the Packers used to not prioritize it. I think Nixon's going to... They want Nixon on the field as a cornerback, and I think we have we are lower on Keyshawn Nixon, the nickel corner, than Brian Gutekunst in the Packers is, for whatever that's worth.
And that you're saying that the money that he was given in this contract shows that.
Yes.
But to me, they overpaid him, because if they don't go to the new kickoff return rule, then he's going to be not very relevant. During the first, say, three-quarter of the season, he becomes more relevant at the end when you can't kick the ball out of the end zone.
I'd be interested in what his snap count was last year. I might have to go in during the break and just check and see what...
I'll be able to find that here for you.
Keyshawn Nixon's snap count.
I mean, he played a lot.
Year.
He played a lot in the defensive backfield.
So I think that's going to be similar this year. I also think, guys, we have to remember the Jeff Hafley element of this, right? There's no chance in hell that they don't go to Jeff Hafley and say, what do you think of Keyshawn Nixon? Right? Before making this deal, before signing on the dotted line. And I'm guessing Hafley gave him an endorsement.
You think they could maybe play him at the other safety? Because if they play a lot of single safety, That single safety, that's the easiest job in the world.
You think?
Well, yeah, all you're doing is sitting back there and playing center field. It's the other, it's McKinney that is going to be like, dude, you got to be a player because now we're going to bring you up. You're going to have to play man against a tight end. You're going to have to play man against a receiver. You're going to have to play man against a back. And you're going to have to fill against a run in a lot of instances. The other guy's just kind of like, he's like the Eugene Robinson. You know, Eugene Robinson was on the back end of his career and just, hey, I'll just sit here in center field. Nothing gets over the top of me. I see everything and I direct traffic. I'm just wondering if, because they haven't filled that spot yet, have they? I know they lost Owens. Rudy Ford, no word?
Haven't heard.
Keyshawn Nixon played 809 snaps. He was only outsnapped by Quay Walker last year.
So
and maybe,
like,
hold on, Kenny Clark might is in the same region. So
okay.
He's on the field a lot.
Oh, they like him then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jair would have played more had he been healthy. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We have Adam Schefter coming up next. I guess my question to you, the loyal listeners, is do you like where they are right now with their DBs? You add McKinney, you know you got Jair. We just talked about Valentine and Stokes, talked about Nixon and Valentine being an option out there as well. Do you like where they are right now with their DBs? 800-990-3776. We got to take a break. Get to Adam Schefter. We'll be right back after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, we have some more news.
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP Clinic is in Brookfield and Pewaukee and Maguanago. And the other day when my husband was dealing with an injury in his foot, he said, you know where I'm going? I'm going to the Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin ASAP Clinic because they can get me in right away. It is faster, it is easier, it is less expensive than the ER or urgent care, and they can handle just about anything, guys, whether it's a sprain or a strain or a fracture or a laceration or a dislocation. Joshy, you and your calf should head over to the Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin ASAP Clinic. There is a difference. We are so pleased to be joined by Adam Schefter. We know it is a very busy week. Adam, I saw your social media, no, not social media, your phone usage. What was it, 17 hours the first day of legal tampering this week of free agency? Do we have Adam Schefter?
I'm looking at him there. I might have to just call him. Hold on.
All right. We're going to give Adam a call. He's staring at us. He's looking at us.
Is this as busy as
now
time
he's
yet?
Talking. I see him chit-chatting with his mouth.
That Jen.
Oh, there we go.
Like your husband is always hurt. Are we referring to the same
injury? It's the same injury. You got me? It was just 2 weeks ago. We got you now. Can you hear me?
I'm just going to give him a call.
All right, sounds good. Okay. We'll give him a call. So the very first thing beyond the 17 hours that I saw Adam Schefter was on his phone for first day usage of free agency, first thing I want to talk to him about is Aaron Jones. See if he can provide any clarity on the timeline or the breakdown and what happened with the Aaron Jones Packers Vikings situation. So when we get Adam Schefter back, we will absolutely ask him about that. Chewy, we were getting reaction to our question about the DBs. Let's see. Dave from Aaron saying, I feel great about our defense all over, not just backs. I have a feeling Stokes will step up this year because of the competition for the spot. You feel confident that Stokes will step up this year?
There'll be competition in training camp outside of Jair. I mean, he was a first-round pick, probably hasn't played up to that yet because of injuries, but if he can stay healthy, he will be in the mix. I think that's it's all going to come down to guys need to take that next step. Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker have to be at least B players because they, I mean, you could say a little bit for Quay. I thought he took a step back his sophomore season. But if this defense wants to be a top 10, those guys have to take the next step. if they plateaued and this is good as they're going to get, then we're going to be in trouble.
All right, we got Adam Schefter back, so I do want to ask him what I mentioned a moment ago. Adam, thanks for hanging out with us. And yes, it was the same injury I was referring to with the clinic, so I appreciate your interest in that. I want to talk about Aaron Jones. What, if any, clarity can you provide on what went down with Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I think that they initially talked at the combine as if he was going to be back. And I think as you assess it, there were ongoing conversations between the Packers and Aaron Jones about how much of a pay cut or a restructure he was willing to take. And obviously, they were ongoing conversations, and I was told it was fluid. They didn't have an answer. And so, again, you're trying to get Aaron Jones to a number, if you're the Packers, to that you feel comfortable with. And he's trying to get to a number that he feels like if he's not on the open market, he'd be making what he feels like he's worth. They never found common ground. And I think when that was happening, the Packers then said, you know what, let's see these free agent running backs. Let's see who's out there. And they went to Josh Jacobs with the deal, a four-year deal that included $12.5 million guaranteed money. It's a very low guarantee on a four-year deal. So basically, it's really a year-to-year deal. So if you could lock in Josh Jacobs at your option on a year-to-year deal and do it at a number that you think is favorable, then it makes some sense. Now, Aaron Jones is, I think, very respected, beloved, all that. So, you know, you have that issue. But the fact of the matter is, it is a business. And if Josh Jacobs comes in and plays the way that he's supposed to, you know, everyone will miss Aaron Jones, the person, but they'll just move on to Josh Jacobs, the player.
Adam, what happened to Dallas? Because there was a report right before free agency that Dallas was hot on Aaron Jones, and they wound up doing essentially nothing in free agency.
No, I think Dallas had an idea of what it wanted to spend for a running back, and it was not what Green Bay was willing to spend on Josh Jacobs or what the Vikings were willing to spend on Aaron Jones. And I think these running backs exceeded the Cowboys' price. You know, let's keep in mind that the Dallas Cowboys are in a situation where they have to re-sign CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. They'd like to rework Dak's contract. They have some major financial obligations and some business to conduct. And obviously they feel like they're going to be very careful with their money. And because of that, they did not pony up the way that it would have been needed to get one of these backs. And that's what happened.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on ESPN Milwaukee. All right, Adam, what does your spidey sense tell you? Are the Packers done? You think they'll try to add a few more pieces, or you think they'll stand pat and wait for the draft to bolster their roster?
You know, Jim, we're at the point of free agency where really the high-ticket, high-profile players, by and large, are off the board. Are there a couple of guys still out there? Yes. Don't you, Devian Clowney, Tyron Smith. There are still some good players out there, don't get me wrong. But they're all of a sudden, I think always when you get to free agent week and it's a situation where you haven't found a home by Wednesday, the prices on players, I think, at that point pretty much starts dropping. You know, Monday is Bergdorf Goodman prices. Wednesday's filing bottom basement prices. And that's really what happens. If you're a player, you want to get that deal done right away. And if it's not done right away, shortly thereafter, and if it's not done then you're looking at getting an ordinary average deal, if that.
Adam, how good is Atlanta going to be? I mean, if you look at their offense, adding Kirk Cousins, they got Morey from Chicago. Are they going to be a contender at the end of the day, or are they still another year away?
Well, I think that's why you go get Kirk Cousins. I think that he does make you a instant contender, and he transforms that franchise. And I do believe in him as a top 10 quarterback. I just do. And because of that, you know, I think the Falcons are the favorite to win the NFC South. And I think they can contend in the NFC. And it's because of the quarterback position. They prioritized that. They said that they had to get it right. Raheem Morris said that's the reason he's the head coach, because the other prior head coach, Arthur Smith, didn't really have the quarterback play that he needed. And when that happened, They went out and they did something that I don't think the Vikings were willing to do. I don't think other teams, they went to 4 years on Kirk Cousins. They went to $100 million guaranteed on Kirk Cousins. It's a huge investment. But let's remember, they also had a very good sense and idea of what they were getting when Kirk Cousins entered the league with Washington as a fourth-round draft pick, the secondary coach for that Washington franchise was Raheem Morris. You know, he spent a few years with Kirk Cousins in Washington. He knows what he's about. And people have seen enough to know that they felt like that was going to be the difference in their roster, and they went out and they phonied up.
Speaking of quarterbacks, very quickly, Jordan Love has become, you know, top tier.
Yeah.
You can have a conversation about him and Jared Goff, I suppose, but top tier in their division. What do you think is going to happen in Chicago? It sounds like they want to move on from Justin Fields. That's the rumor. That's what we keep hearing. Do they have a partner? Is there somebody out there who's going to snatch him up? Or is it kind of the writing on the wall for him?
Well, here's what I would say to that, Jen. When we started this whole process, one of the big offseason question marks was, you know, where was he going to go? What was he going to do? People speculated that Justin Fields would be in play in Atlanta. Well, what did the Falcons do? They went out and reached an agreement with Kirk Cousins. We heard Justin Fields connected to Pittsburgh. What happened? Steelers went out and signed Russell Wilson. We heard Justin Fields in Vegas. They went ahead and reached an agreement with Gardner Minshew. So now I ask you, you and Chewy, you tell me, what franchises right now could Justin Fields step in and be the anointed starter? That's my first question for you.
Yeah, it's crickets. There's just not a lot of options out there.
No, there really isn't.
Right? And so now if there's not a lot of options out there, well, then why, even if you came up with one or two, why is that team or teams going to be giving up the compensation that the Bears initially wanted? And so if there's not a strong market for him, which clearly there hasn't been, or they would have moved him, then what happens? And it becomes very interesting. Like, are they better off holding on to him? Or does that create a strange dynamic within the locker room and on the field when you draft a guy? Or do you unload him and trade him at a discounted price? Because I think they would have been looking for, honestly, a couple of draft picks. Oh, let's just call it a 2 and a 3, a 2 and a 4, some combination. Like Sam Darnold, when he got traded, went for a 2, 4, and 6. So let's just say they could have gotten a 2, 4, 6. I don't know if they're getting a 2, 4, 6 today for Justin Fields. Maybe, but maybe not. Who's giving up a 2, 4, 6 for him?
No one right now.
Well, and you mentioned Darnold. He's the guy right now in Minnesota, but you are seeing Justin's name attached to the Vikings on some, you know, rumors and reports and maybe speculation.
But Jen, they just gave up. They just agreed with Darnold on a $10 million. Not giving Darnold $10 million and then going trading a 2, 4, 6.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
But Adam, is this more about Caleb Williams than Justin Fields? Are they not sold on him?
What I don't understand the question.
Caleb Williams isn't Andrew Luck or the last Luck quarterback to come out. There's still questions on him. I didn't think he had a great year. Threw a lot of picks.
Yep.
But
the scouting community thinks he's a blue chip prospect. We'll see whether or not they're right. That's what they believe. They believe he's an elite quarterback prospect. And I don't think Justin Fields' presence in Chicago or the fact that they've been unable to trade him has anything to do with how the Bears feel about Caleb Williams at all. Like, I think the Bears like Caleb Williams an awful lot. And I think that they're going to be, if I had to guess, moving ahead, and that the plan would be to take him. Now that's one totally separate question from Justin Fields. So, okay, let's say that is right. That is what most people expect and believe and think, that the Bears will take Caleb Williams. So, okay, that's right. That's a totally separate conversation from what they're doing with Justin Fields. Like, they're taking Caleb Williams because they really believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want, like most people believe. And then it becomes a question, well, what do you do with your other former first-round draft pick? Do you hold him? Do you trade him at a reduced rate? What's the best course of action there?
Where did Mac Jones go, and what did he go for?
He went to Jacksonville, I believe, for 2 late round picks, a 5th and a 6th, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, so they're not getting much for Fields then. Would you agree?
Well, I'm seeing lists here that include
maybe
the Seattle Seahawks and the Broncos. Do you think those are potential landing spots for him, Adam?
I think these I think this situation's fluid. I think Justin Fields, if and when he were to get traded, winds up in a spot that maybe we just didn't initially discuss the way we talked about Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Vegas. Seattle and Denver, I mean, they're plausible. Why not? I'm not going to say no to anybody that has a quarterback question, because at some point in time, I would expect that something's going to materialize. But I think we're just throwing darts the way we threw darts at Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Vegas, and none of them turned out to be the case. For all we know, in 2 weeks, you know, a quarterback could suffer an injury while training, and this team needs a quarterback, and all of a sudden, who's the guy you're going to call? Chicago for Justin Fields.
What about the Giants? What about the Giants, Adam? Or are they going to draft one?
You see, that's an interesting team. Well, they just signed Drew Lock, and they gave him $5 million guaranteed yesterday. So, again, they just sunk $5 million into the position, and they're on the hook this season to Daniel Jones for another, I think, $35 million. Like, you're not going to go get Justin Fields.
Yeah,
you know,
no, you're right.
A lot invested at the quarterback. And so, again, I just don't see right now an obvious landing spot. We all think that something will materialize, but I don't know whether it's Seattle or Denver or another. I just don't know right now because it's not clear cut to me. And by the way, it's mid-March, whatever day it is, I've lost track of time, and the draft is, what, in 6 weeks from tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's a lot of time left still.
Adam, are you hearing anything on Bakhtiari? Is he going to wind up on a team?
You know, I don't know if he wants to play. I don't know if he's healthy enough to play. I'd like to ask him that question. Maybe we'll shoot him a little message. Has he given any indication about whether he wants to continue playing or not?
He hasn't said he hasn't wanted.
His Instagram message implied.
Is it?
That he wants to play or doesn't?
That he does want to play.
Yeah, okay, well, that's...
Look at Chewy giving Adam Schefter homework. Adam, could you check on this for me? Thank you very much. All right, Adam, before we let you go, I cannot let you go without discussing this very important topic.
Yes.
Is Aaron Rodgers going to be our next vice president?
You know, I got to say something. It was not the question that I had on the bingo card for today. I did not think that, you know, when I was showing up today to do our regularly scheduled appearance here, that we would be talking about whether Robert Kennedy Jr. should be choosing Aaron Rodgers as his running mate in the presidential election. I wasn't expecting that. So, you know, I just think it's interesting. If you go look at some of the comments when I posted it on Twitter or X or whatever it is and Threads, the comments on it are rather rich. I'll just say that. I mean, I'll let the people speak.
Ayahuasca for everyone.
I mean, let's just think of this from a football standpoint for just one moment. You're the New York Jets, right? You have the horrible season you had last year with him getting injured. Are you laughing back there? Is Joshy just cackling to himself?
Yeah, it's the funniest thing
and
ever.
Now all of a sudden there's a chance that your quarterback is going to be running for political office, and not just political office. We're not talking about school board of like whatever town he lives in New Jersey. No. The highest office in the land, potentially the running mate for one of the presidential candidates. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be the Jets right now.
Yeah, you know, I'll just read you a few of the comments, right? Like, I'm like, let me just see what people are saying. So I opened up Threads. It says, homie couldn't get the permanent hosting gig on Jeopardy. We don't need him anywhere near Walker. Next comment, almost tore my Achilles laughing. Next question, getting rid of all the distractions in the Jets organization. Next question. I have no words. Watching the Jets is the weirdest form of insanity. Different plan. Next question. Next comment. Guess he already scammed enough money from the Jets. He doesn't need to work anymore. next comment. How are they going to take down Trump and Nick Bosa? Next comment. This is peak U.S. stupidity. Next comment. As if I needed another reason to ignore this bozo. Next comment. Not surprising considering they're both anti-vaccine conspiracy theorists. Next comment. I'm in favor of Eric completely destroying his legacy. I'll get the popcorn ready. Go for it, Aaron. Next comment. RFK Jr. is one taco short of a combo platter, so this totally cracks. This is on and off.
That's good stuff.
All right, I may have to take a dive into the comments section of Adam Schefter's post about Aaron Rodgers potentially being the vice president candidate for one of the tickets. Adam, we appreciate
you know, social media can be a very obnoxious, rude, insulting, critical place, but sometimes it does provide a form of levity and entertainment. That would be a time it does.
Fantastic, Adam. We appreciate you. Have a great week. Try to get some sleep. I know it's a busy, very challenging week just with all of the stories that y'all are juggling. So we appreciate all the work that you do this week to keep us all informed.
Jen and Chewy, happy new year to you. Happy NFL new year.
Happy NFL new year to
get some
you.
Sleep.
Joshy, you're going to tell us about Island
Resort. I totally forgot
all right,
about
no
my
worries.
Job.
It's okay.
Your total experience at the Island Resort and Casino includes two championship golf courses. Stay and play packages are available. Book early to guarantee choice dates. For complete information, visit islandresortgolf.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuanago weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is. Very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Free agency week is the perfect time to enjoy a Celsius energy drink. Why? Because you got to be alert. You got to be on it. You got to be checking your social feeds. You got to be seeing all the things that are happening. Who knows if the Packers will make another move this week? But Celsius Energy Drink will keep you active and energized all day long. It's the essential energy drink that I choose to stay on top of everything. You can find it at your local Pick and Save stores or online at Amazon.com. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Really good stuff there from Adam Schefter. If you missed any of his appearance, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. I suppose we should dive into this whole Aaron Rodgers for vice president thing. At least I know Josh, you'll get a good chuckle out of it. We'll be back right after this. I'm Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.